I'm excited to introduce to you Leslie Allure of Iron Mountain, who will reveal the two truths and lies about ABM. So stay tuned. Thank you for joining us, Leslie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, everyone who's here. But, you know, this is going to be an interactive session a little bit, so we're going to practice right now the interactive bit. Who's here because you heard there's beer? Yeah, at least one. All right, get on your Twitter, people. If you raise your hand, there's beer for you in your very near future. All right, so today I'm going to talk about this topic that we've all been hearing a lot about all week, which is ABM, and I'm calling this Two Truths and a Lie because it's one of my favorite games, and we're going to get into that really soon. But first, just a little bit of introduction, a little about me. I'm the Director of Marketing Operations for Iron Mountain, and in my role, I'm responsible for managing our database, our tech stack, automation, lead routing analytics, processes, and demand funnel methodology. And I'd be happy to talk to any of you about any of those topics, but today we're just talking about ABM. Now, if you're not familiar with Iron Mountain, we are a very large enterprise organization. We operate all over the world, $4 billion company. We've got a lot of customers all over the world, a lot of facilities, and we, believe it or not only target large enterprise accounts, we go all the way down to small business. So ABM for us is maybe different than what you heard from Plex if you were in the session right before this. And I'm going to talk about how it's a little bit different, but maybe still some more of the same. But for us, ABM still needs to be a game of scale. And a lot of people hear ABM and they get really scared because it sounds like personalization, it sounds like it's one-to-one thing, and I'm here to talk about why it's also a scale game for us. So when you talk about marketing at scale, here's some numbers. This is what I mean when I talk about scale. We've got large revenue targets, we've got a very large database, and we have a very large set of target accounts. And this is a pretty broad term when I say target accounts, but it just gives you a little bit of perspective of what I mean when I say scale. Again, when you think about some of the ways people talk about account-based marketing and you think, oh, it needs to be highly personalized and highly targeted, you might think, well, how does marketing do that? That's what sales does. So at Iron Mountain, we came up with our own way of doing it. But before I get into that, I want to play a game. And no, it's not spin the bottle, although that would be fun. We need more beers in here first, though. I want to play the game Two Truths and a Lie. Who's played that game before? All right, keep your hand up if you've played that game in a party setting. Okay, now who's played that game in a business setting? Yeah, okay. So I thought that this was like going to be really fun because it was like a true party game, and then people were like, oh yeah, we play that at work. And I'm like, oh, well, that's a little less cool. But hopefully this will be fun for you all. And again, this is interactive. So the way this game works, you have to identify the lie. I'm going to do a series of these, and I'm not going to tell you what's the lie right away. We'll get to that later. But for now, I just want to know, what do you think is the lie? Number one, Iron Mountain has our ABM strategy mastered. Obviously, that's why I'm here today. Number two, every B2B business should be doing account-based marketing. And number three, ABM means different things to different businesses. So who thinks number one is the lie? I'm offended, you guys. What about number two? Okay. Number three. No. Okay. All right. Good. Well, you learned something so far this week. All right. The next set. Number one, I personally get an average of 26 sales or marketing emails a day, and on average about 92% of these mention ABM. Number two, every marketing tech tool should be evaluated in consideration of how they support your ABM strategy. And number three, if you don't have an ABM strategy at this point, you are behind the curve. Who thinks it's number one? Yeah, you guys are in the same boat. Okay, who thinks it's number two? Okay, a few people. Number three? Okay. All right, almost done with this bit. Number one, B2B salespeople get ABM. I mean, they really get it. Number two, B2B salespeople think all marketing and sales is ABM. And number three, Iron Mountain's B2B salespeople barely understand what marketing does, let alone what ABM is. Who thinks it's number one? Remember, you're going for the lie here. Who thinks it's number two? Who thinks it's number three? Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, last one. Number one, consulting and MarTech vendors often promote ABM as a hot new strategy which requires incremental investment. Number two, Iron Mountain leadership believes ABM is a hot new strategy which requires incremental investment. Number three, Iron Mountain's marketers treat ABM as a method of segmentation and messaging rather than a new way of incremental or a new or incremental way of marketing. Who thinks it's one? Who thinks it's two? Mm-hmm. And who thinks it's three? Okay. Well, let's find out who is right. So let's just kind of level set on what ABM is. And you guys have probably heard a different definition in every single session this week. And I'm not going to show you a different definition. I'm going to show you all of them. These are all the different definitions that we've been hearing today and that we see in those, you know, 26 a day emails that we get. And they're very interesting because they range from serious decisions definition, which is fairly open and define university accounts, all the way to some people claiming that it's a silver bullet. And, you know, Marketo actually said they found in a study that 97% of marketers say that it is a more effective initiative than other marketing initiatives. So when you kind of look across all the different definitions, the things we see from ABM that people claim are it breaks down sales and marketing silos, right? It is communicating with accounts as markets of one. You need to have a defined universe of accounts and personalized campaigns. It should be approached as a strategic marketing initiative, but really it's been around forever and it's now just supported with more technology. Okay. So with that in mind, here's our approach. And I have to apologize. I know you guys have probably been seeing lots and lots and lots of pyramids. I want to preface this by saying that I did not get a crash course in serious decisions account-based marketing before I put together this slide. You're going to see that it actually jives fairly closely, but that was not on purpose. So well done us, I guess, or well done Sirius. Maybe they stole it from me. I think that's what happened. So here's what our pyramid looks like. We have what we call our ring-fenced account-based marketing. These are really large global accounts where there are assigned salespeople. They're already customers of ours, so our goal is really loyalty and retention. And of course, we hope that that leads to cross-sell. These are the collateral that supports these are highly targeted messages, but they're proliferated through sales enablement channels. They're also high-touch types of channels, and marketing aids in those through things like small customer events. It's a really white-gloved approach, which actually means we don't do any outbound marketing to these people. Sales might do their bit, but we don't do outbound marketing. But we do some on-site web personalization by those target accounts. Then we have our named ABM. These are named accounts. They're both customers and prospects. They're a little bit smaller. We group them by account attributes, so things like size, vertical, whether they're vended or unvended, things that matter to our business. And the goal can be either new business or cross-sell. We are developing targeted collateral for this by attribute for sales to use in their enablement efforts, but we're also doing targeted inbound and outbound on our end and on-site web personalization by company attribute. And then finally, book of business account-based marketing. This is our broadest set. These are not customers. Our goal is new business, and this is not an area where sales really has a proactive play until they get through pretty far down that traditional funnel. So everything that we're doing in the marketing realm is still inbound and outbound. It's still web personalization, but we don't have that sales enablement channel. Marketing is really driving this. So again, I just want to remind you, what are the things we said ABM does? It's all these things. This is what we've heard from the industry experts that are. And here's how those layer against our tiers. So there is a potential that this enables the breakdown of marketing and sales silos across all these tiers. And I really want to highlight the word enables here. Keep that in your mind. But only in the ring fence are we really looking at accounts or talking to accounts as a market of one, and sales is doing that. In all cases, it's a defined universe, and in all cases, there's some level of personalization, but you'll notice that at the top, it's personalization on both an individual and an account level, and it's being done through the sales channel. And I don't mean technology-powered personalization, I mean true personalization. But then as you get down lower, we're really leveraging technology to power these more personalized experiences or experiences that feel more personalized. Now, what you don't see here that was on that list on the last slide was this is not a specific initiative. This is just the way we do marketing, okay? And I also said enables silo busting between marketing and sales. It certainly has that potential, but I will tell you that for us, we still struggle here because we have a very large sales organization out in the field, and they don't all get marketing because they're busy. They're doing their own thing, and we in, you know, corporate la-la lands are, you know, mysteries to them. We're working on that. We don't have that nailed. All right, so now let's talk tech for a minute, and I want to spend a little bit of time on technology. Because one of my favorite definitions is what Matt Hines said about ABM, and it's the old way of marketing. If you're a B2B company, you should be doing account-based marketing because you are marketing to companies, and your sales team certainly is doing that. But what is new about ABM and why this hashtag is such a big thing is because there are more technologies than ever that power that experience and make it better and enable marketing to do it at scale, okay? So here's our tech stack at a glance, and this is not, you know, completely comprehensive, but it's a pretty good representation of what our tech stack looks like. And, you know, as you look at this, you know, depending upon the size of your company, you might think, yeah, that's nothing, or you might be thinking, holy crap. And what I want to tell you is I am not a proponent of shiny new object syndrome. I don't think technology solves all of your problems. If you were in my Integrate case study session a couple days ago, you heard me say that, and I'm going to say it again because I think it's so important. You need to have a strategy that is the foundation that drives the technology that you bring in. It just so happens that because we're a very, very large organization with a very diverse set of targets, in a very long sales cycle in some cases, we really do need a technology stack that looks like this, but it doesn't mean everyone does. What you should have noticed, what I hope you picked up on, is these are not all ABM tools, and that's absolutely okay. You do not need every single piece of technology that crosses your desk, even though every single email that crosses your desk talks about ABM. It doesn't have to do it, okay? So here's the pyramid again, sorry. But here is what some of our technologies look like across these stacks. So you'll notice that there's a more limited set at the top in the ring fence area, and a lot of this is more sales enablement type of technology. Then you get down to named ABM, and I mentioned that this is a partnership. Sales is doing their targeted outreach, and we're certainly enabling them here, but we're also bringing in a marketing element, and we're marketing a little bit more at scale. And then at the bottom, you start to see some of those more sales enablement tools whittle out and fall out. First, because these aren't customers yet, the people in this area, and because we're doing less sales enablement, although we're always doing that, and more broad-based marketing. I say broad-based, it's still targeted. We're not like pasta method marketers, but it's definitely to a larger audience. Okay, so I want to dig into a few, and just because I'm picking these doesn't mean that I wouldn't love to talk to you guys about any of them, and if you want to talk to me about any of them, please feel free to reach out, but I'm going to highlight a couple in each of these categories that I think are worthy of looking at. Okay, so we'll start with the top with the ring fence, and just a reminder, this is what they were. And the two I want to highlight are Influitive and Savo. So I'm curious, who in this room uses either of these two technologies? Do you know? Yeah? Okay, cool. Good. Good representation. So Influitive is a platform that marketing runs, but it is for our customers. And we use it as a tool to build a customer community. And this is really important for advocacy, for loyalty, for retention. And we actually believe that this is also valuable for cross-sell. And we can prove it because it's integrated with our Salesforce.com. Salespeople can refer their customers too influitive, and they sign up and they can interact with other customers, they can interact with employees, there's a gamification element to it. It's a really robust platform, and we also are able to position this as a differentiator for us. We're in a little bit of an old school type of market, and not a lot of other companies that do what we do have this type of area that customers can go and interact. Savo is really a sales enablement tool. This is not a tool that marketing owns or runs. We are users of the tool, and we use it to give our content to sales and help them understand when the appropriate time is to use it. Once again, it's integrated with Salesforce.com. Salespeople are served up options of content that they can use based upon different stages in the buyer journey, different opportunity pipeline stages. And this is an area where we start to really cross into better partnership and alignment with our sales teams. Our sales people definitely do know that the materials that they get from marketing, or the materials that they get in Salesforce, come from marketing. So that's a little bit of a win, a little bit of internal promotion of our marketing efforts as well. Moving on to named ABM, there's a lot here, and you might be interested to see what I focus on, because it might not be what you would expect. I'm going to talk about Avention, and actually, believe it or not, Eloqua. So first, Avention, it is a database that allows us to gather information on accounts and prospects, both on the account and contact or lead side. It sits within Salesforce.com, so salespeople are able to do contact sourcing and do research on their accounts. But believe it or not, we also in marketing use this not to source contacts, but to enrich our contacts. So we want to make sure that every record that hits our database is as complete as possible, and our integration between Eloqua and Avention allows us to do this. Again, if you were in my integrate session a couple days ago, you heard that I use other tools, which I'll talk about in a minute, to do this. So this isn't the exclusive tool that we use for this type of thing, but you know, being in marketing ops, I'm a data nut, and I want the records to be as complete as possible so that we can do really targeted marketing. And then you might be surprised to see Eloqua on here, and the reason that I decided I really wanted to highlight this is because most companies have a marketing automation platform already as part of your core tech stack. And I'm not sure that you guys realize that you can be using this for account-based marketing. You don't have to go buy a brand new technology to say, now I have the power. You know, if you have the right data, which we get from Avention, and you have a system like Eloqua, you already have the power to do a lot of these things, to be more targeted and precise. If you're using Eloqua as, you know, an ESP, I mean, email service, we need to talk, because that is really not acceptable nowadays. You should really be being very precise, very automated, leveraging things like dynamic content to be really personalized. And that's why I decided I wanted to highlight Eloqua today, because I feel like we're kind of getting distracted a little bit from some of the core, and I want you guys to know that this is not rocket science, and it's not really something that you need to get huge money for a new piece of technology to do. Okay, and then finally, for our book of business, I'd like to highlight today Integrate and Demandbase. So Integrate is a platform that we use to run all of our third-party inbound programs. So primarily that means content syndication, but not exclusively. We do a lot of content syndication because of the nature of our business and the length of our sales cycle to earn people who we know to be interested in our topics and the things that we're talking about. We actually can run our content syndication against a defined set of accounts directly within Integrate. So we load our target accounts up to Integrate, we bid out to the marketplace, and the marketplace media partners respond and say, yep, we got people for you at those accounts. Also, I really like it because it allows us to find the right, what we call watering holes. I don't know if you guys use this terminology. The watering holes means that this is where our target audience is going to consume information, because we're not the watering hole, usually. Usually they're going to third-party publications, to niche partners and things like that. We don't necessarily know where all of those are, what all of those are, or wanna, you know, develop a relationship with every single one of them, so Integrate allows us to access those watering holes. And then Demandbase, probably the most familiar to you guys in terms of the ABM context. We, of course, use this to do personalization on our website towards targeted accounts. And it enables us to be more personalized. When people hit our website, they have a more personalized experience, and we find that that actually increases our conversions quite significantly. So, here's what we have achieved, and I wanna specify this is in order because I think this order is really, really important, and I hope what you get out of this is that it's really not that hard, it's not that complicated. I hope there's no serious decisions people in the room, but if there are, I'm sorry. I kinda joke a little bit and I say, you know, they have wonderful, very comprehensive frameworks, but if we waited to like check every box and every prerequisite to follow a serious decision model, we'd never get anything done. Those are really important things to strive for, but you don't wait. Like, it's very achievable today. So here's what we did. We made sure that we had a very clear understanding of sales and business priorities. It's really important for marketing to have a high degree of business acumen and know what the business, what leadership cares about. If you're just off in marketing speak land, you're never going to achieve that alignment or that understanding. Then we defined a specific approach to marketing segmentation for our tactics, our channels, and our messaging with a focus on accounts, or ABM, basically. Then we sought to achieve an alignment with sales leadership about our go-to-market approach and, I'm going to highlight this, our revenue targets. We have aligned revenue targets with sales. And that doesn't mean that we say, okay, sales, we sign up for 100% of your number, but we definitely know what that number is and we're working toward it. And you know, we work with them to identify what percent of that we think we can achieve. And that varies very much by segment. And then finally, after those first three things, then we look to implement technologies that enable our approach. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we bought all new technologies to enable the approach. It might also mean that we looked within at the technologies that we had and made sure that they were set up and being used in alignment with that. What we have not done. We actually don't have a unique ABM initiative and budget. It's not like some special important thing that we put a stake in the ground and said, okay, now we do ABM, give us some money, and we'll get it done. No, it's just kind of this layer of continuity that we keep going with. It's just our ever-evolving approach to marketing. We also actually don't even use the term account-based marketing as a way to define our approach. And part of the reason we don't use this term is because if we said to our sales team, our leadership team, hey, guess what? Marketing's got this new initiative and we're gonna do this thing, and this thing is called account-based marketing. They're gonna go, what the F were you doing all this time if it wasn't account-based? And we don't wanna look bad. So we don't use that term. And I'm not saying it's a dirty word, but it's not a word we chose to use. And then finally, and to my chagrin, we don't really have deep penetration alignment at the lower level of sales, at that kind of field rep level. We still struggle and hear that they just don't get marketing. And it's a little bit of, well, what have you done for me lately? So they kind of check in on something. Mostly they notice when we do events and things like that. They don't really have a awareness of the engine that's constantly running and powering their customers' experience and bringing those leads to them. And that's on us to work on. And I think it will probably always be a challenge. We hear sales and marketing alignment all the time, and this is why. So we haven't nailed this, and we'll always be working on it. Okay, so now we're gonna go back to our game. All right, so identify the lie. Who said number one, Iron Mountain has our ABM strategy mastered? All right, yeah, that was a lie. It was a lie. I don't think we'll ever get here, to be honest with you, because marketing changes so much. By the time we feel like we've got this, mastered, that hashtag is just not even going to be trending. And we'll move on to the next thing. All right, next one. Every marketing tech tool should be evaluating consideration of how it can be leveraged in support of your ABM strategy. No. So who said number two was the lie? Some of the people seemed a little more unsure. Yeah, you don't have to have everything in your tech stack be an ABM tool. Just because every email you get says ABM doesn't mean every tech you buy has to be ABM. B2B salespeople get ABM. Not so much. Not so much for us. They really, really feel, when we kind of pressure tested this kind of idea with them, they're like, I'm sorry, what have you been doing if this isn't it? Or like, is the marketing department new to this? So if you're a B2B company, you've always been doing ABM in some way, or at least pretend like you have, if anybody asks. All right. Iron Mountain Leadership believes ABM is a hot new strategy which requires incremental investment. No, the reason they don't believe it is because we didn't pitch it that way. We didn't tell them that, and they would say the same thing that sales did, and they would be like, listen, we need to rip and replace our marketing team because they had no idea what they were doing up till now, and now they think this is a new thing. No. So, I have about 5 minutes for questions, and if people want to stay after, I'm happy to. And by the way, if you came for the beer, I have great news for you. That was not a lie. There is beer. In 5 minutes from now, when you go out there, there's going to be booze. Thanks to me, I did that. Yeah. Any questions? No, it was such a great presentation. You guys have no questions. All right. Well, yes. So you mean like target account plays? It really depends on the segment that we're working with. So at our national or largest account level, our sales enablement team actually has focused people who actually work with the sales team to develop their plays, and they run and they own that strategy, and we kind of participate and take it and use it, and we're informed upon it. When it comes down to kind of that middle segment, we've brought in some third parties to help do some insight and analysis, and we use some tools that layer on particular insights. And things that matter to us are really boring stuff to you guys, like cube growth, like how many like pieces of paper in boxes that we can put on shelves that companies will have. And so we most of our plays in that group are developed around cube growth and prioritizing around it. And then we also have segments like in our more technical industry where we're actually releasing new products, and it's our product marketing team that's kind of developing the plays for sales. So it being such a big organization with such a diverse portfolio, it really does depend. But things inevitably always end up falling out into those kind of three-tiered categories no matter what part of the business it's in. Way back there. Yeah. Yeah, so to be very honest with you, our business leaders don't really care about the initiatives of marketing. They care about revenue. So the only thing that we get FaceTime with the executive team to talk about is, here are the revenue targets we set, and here's how we're performing against them. And that's kind of disappointing sometimes. Even really big brand initiatives, it takes a lot to get them to care or really pay attention within our organization. And maybe that's on us to do a little bit more marketing. But what we have found is, if we kind of raise up initiatives and market ourselves internally that divert in any way, shape, or form from just the QBR type revenue reporting, they think that we're blowing smoke, and it starts to play to our credibility against our numbers, unfortunately. Anybody else?
Okay. That was great.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You. And I can vouch, there is beer out there and wine and what I thought was lemonade. And after I took a sip, it's actually a margarita. So it's going to be really fun next session.